The last decade has seen increased interest in renewable energy. In the West, it's mainly been solar and wind. And that created an opportunity, but it also created challenges. With me to talk about how the government, energy companies, and conservationists and environmentalists handled those, I'm joined by Ian Dowdy, director of the Sustainable Landscapes and Communities team at the Sonoran Institute. And Ian, let's first of all get some perspective here. It seems as though the renewable energy industry went basically from zero to 60 really quickly in this part of the country. How fast did things really ramp up as far as there not being a ton of interest in solar in the West to there being a lot of interest?
Yeah, I mean, overnight, essentially. I mean, you had around 2008, of course, we're in the recession. We had the various efforts going on. We called it the stimulus package. The goal was to try to stimulate more investment in infrastructure. And one of those, one of the ideas that came out of that was to incentivize renewable energy development by giving guaranteed loans to developers and certain other incentives. And so when that happens, of course, you have the business community who's suddenly interested, which is great. And that was the goal. And then projects start to pencil out. You have people who are looking for land, who want to build 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 acre projects. They want to generate 200-300 megawatts of renewable energy, and they're looking for places to do it. So we had dozens and dozens of applications being put out all over BLM lands, and it was a pretty significant impact to our community. And the conservation community, of course, was excited. On one hand, because we're like, wow, we're going to have this opportunity for clean energy. We're going to be able to address some of the other issues that we know are affecting us, including carbon releases into the atmosphere. But at the same time, we had some of the most treasured environmentally important landscapes throughout the state being suddenly up for development.
Yeah, it seemed like kind of a classic good news, bad news scenario for, you know, groups like yours and for people like you, where, as you say, it's amazing we have all this interest in renewable energy, but do we really want to put it right there?
And that's exactly right. And so the challenge, of course, is every single project that's submitted has to go through a review process. But we don't have the capacity, none of us do, and the BLM doesn't, to review, you know, three dozen applications to find out which of them have merit, which of them don't. I mean, you can imagine the workload that that would take. And so the BLM said, you know, let's put a pause on this. You know, we're going to put a moratorium on new applications, and we're going to try to figure out how to do this better.
And I was going to ask, how prepared or unprepared were policymakers and conservationists for this sort of overnight interest? It sounds like not entirely prepared.
No. You know, and that's the challenge I think that the conservation community has been talking about for forever, probably, which is we can't just react in a knee-jerk way to everything that comes our way. We need to find a way to screen lands and sort of open them up for the opportunities that they, the best opportunities that they present. So let's find a way to zone, if you will, in the way that we zone private lands through municipalities, let's find a way to zone public lands so that people are more clear, there's more clarity about where is a good place to do this development. That way we don't have to respond to all of these. We say, okay, we've gone through a process, we have a pretty good idea of where these things can go. And, you know, it's a lot easier and a lot more efficient to get projects approved.
It's an interesting analogy, the zoning, you know, taking what people do in cities and suburbs out into, you know, more rural, undeveloped areas. As you no doubt know, zoning decisions and the zoning process in cities and towns is not always smooth, is not always without controversy. Same kind of thing for the kinds of lands that we're talking about for these renewable energy projects?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Every time you have land use decisions of any kind, whether they're on federal lands or on in private lands, or even state trust lands for that matter, it does open up a lot of public debate. And sometimes things are pretty clear cut, sometimes they're not. In the case of public lands, you always have had this challenge with, you know, lands that we call are open up to multiple uses, which most BLM lands are multiple use lands. So they're really open for whomever will come forward and say, this is what I want to use this land for. Will you allow me to use it? We go through a zoning process or a planning process on those lands every 10 years or so. And so those are done regularly. They're clouded oftentimes with, you know, a lot of public controversy, and it's no different with renewable energy.
So we're coming up now on almost 10 years since this sort of gold rush, you know, this overnight interest, as you described it. How do you think the government has done? How do you think groups like yours have done as far as encouraging the development of these kinds of projects, but also making sure that they are sited in places that, you know, don't cause too much heartburn?
Well, I think what we got out of this is great. I mean, I think the BLM responded very well to the challenge.
There has been so much talk for so many years now about how Arizona should be the solar capital of the world. We get so much sunlight. Why don't we have more solar power? I'm wondering how close at this moment you think we are to potentially getting that, and if that is still, in fact, the goal.
Well, I think there is a lot of potential here. And I think for a lot of reasons, Arizona is the best place for solar development. Certainly, there are other states that have a lot of opportunity too, Nevada, California. But we have the best solar insolation rate, so we can get the most energy per hour of sunlight here because of a variety of factors. And so it makes sense to develop here. There are a number of challenges that prevent that from happening right now. I think, though, most of those will be overcome in time as solar energy continues to be more effective in the marketplace. Sunlight is free. And so I think we're going to get more efficiency in that way and a lot more benefits. So I think that we'll overcome that.
What do you think is the ultimate potential for solar energy in this state?
Well, I think the sky's the limit. I think we've talked largely in our organization more about what we call utility scale solar, which is these large projects where energy is sold to utilities to meet their goals. Certainly, distributed solar energy is important.
Like rooftop solar.
Like rooftop solar, exactly. Or the projects that we see at school districts all over our state, these large solar projects covering parking lots. That's another example. I think we can more or less meet most of our energy goals with solar energy. Of course, we need a balanced portfolio because we aren't always going to have sunlight. We aren't always going to have wind energy. And so we need a really nice, robust energy grid. We need to figure out storage. But I think the sky's the limit, and I think that we're going to make a lot more innovations probably over the next 10 years and really change the model for how energy is generated and distributed.
All right. Ian Dowdy with the Sonoran Institute. Ian, thanks a lot for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.